I just want to share just a little bit, then I want to get my hands on you because I want to impart some stuff to you tonight that God's been ministering to me. You know, I'm the kind of guy that has to, I'm the worst at just being mediocre. If I'm mediocre, I won't last very long. I've got to, you know, like I go out and sometimes shoot a bucket of balls over at the driving range. And the worst thing for me is seeing that 250-yard marker. Because when I drive the ball, I don't want to hit it 100 yards. I don't want it at 100, 125, 150. As much as it goes, 250, that's where I want every ball to go. If I can't go 250, I get discouraged. I'm just an all-out guy. How many are like that? Anybody in the room like that? I mean, you just want to do everything. And I've always been that way. It's all or nothing for me. And I like what John said about the purpose. We have a purpose for being here. Otherwise, we'd be in heaven. Come on, somebody. God's a very practical God. And he's an awesome God. I was just watching a video today about the creation. You know that the Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years from end to end. Just one galaxy. Are you listening to me? We're on the edge of the galaxy. It's 100,000 light years wide. I don't know how long it would take to go from one end to the other, but longer than you and I would live, I tell you that. 100,000 light years. Whatever a light year is, I don't know, you mathematicians. That's a long way. And God who created us and created all of this, that's just one galaxy. That's just one galaxy over in the corner of the whole universe. It's just a little spot over here. And then you got the whole universe outside of that. God created all that, and he decided to come and live in me. Come on, someone. The God of the universe decided to come and live in me. And he placed me here for this time, for this place. How many know he has a purpose in mind? He has a purpose in mind for Roger. Roger's got such a call in his life, he doesn't even know what it is yet. God's called him. He's been through two brains. Same with John. And there's people in this room that should be dead now. How many should be dead now? Raise both hands. You know, I shouldn't tell such stories, but I better not. I should be dead now. Just from drugs, I should be dead. But God had a purpose and a plan. And I wonder if we've thought about the suddenlies of God. Because all things, the scripture says, there are people that live on this earth right now that and have always said, all things remain as they always were. Where is the promise of his coming? When is he coming? And how many know when he comes, it's going to be suddenly? It's going to be suddenly. Nobody's going to predict it. He said, it's be like in the days of Noah. They'll be giving in marriage, and all of a sudden it'll come upon them. But while we're waiting for that suddenly, how many know God does things suddenly in our lives? You know, when we've walked with the Lord a while, there's a certain predictability that one can enter our lives. We just kind of go with the flow. You know, Sunday morning you go to church, Wednesday night you go to church, and you get up and have your little bit of devotions, and you kind of, God, you stay right there, and when I need you, I'll call you. But how many know when God comes in our life, he comes as Lord of our life. He conducts my life, I don't conduct his. I don't tell him when to show up or speak. He shows up and speaks whenever he darn well pleases. Now, if I say I don't want to hear, he won't speak. But how many know he's got a lot to say to us? God's got a lot to say to us, especially in the territory that we're in right now. You love him, but you're not hungry. You love him, but you're not thirsty. And when revival comes, and revival comes in the church, it's to create a hunger and a thirst again for the presence of the Lord. We haven't had that hunger. We haven't had that thirst. We're like the voters. We've registered. Our name is in heaven. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Our name is in heaven. Our name is in the book of life. There is no problem there. It's there. But it's not a major thing in our life anymore. We're not hungry for the presence of God. We've got this much of God, like that much of the galaxy, that much of the universe. We've got that, and we're, oh, can you 100,000 light years from one end to the other? And then God says, but look, 100,000 light years, but look, I've got a whole universe that I created. And it keeps growing by 2,000 miles every day. Scientists say the universe is growing 2,000 miles every day. It continues to expand. Can you imagine? Wow. God says, I've got so much more. If you think you have seen and experienced all of God, you've got another thing coming. His ways are past. The psalmist says, His ways are past finding out. He is beyond all of our comprehension. His ways are past us. But He says, I'll share my life with you if you want. Amen. I might not get past this statement tonight. I feel the presence of the Lord so strong. God wants to meet with us. Here's the statement. Don't walk so much in the predictable that you miss the suddenly. Allow for the suddenly in your life. Give God carte blanche. Just give Him carte blanche. Don't put any demands on Him. Don't say, God, sit over there until I'm ready to talk to you. Just every day when you get up, every morning when you wake up, God, say, God, all that you have for me today, I want. That gives God license to do what he wants to do, what He always wanted to do in you. The God that created the little galaxy over here in the universe and the stars, and He named every one of them, and He created all of this. He come live in you, and He says, I've got more for you than you could ever possibly think. In fact, what I've got for you is going to take an eternity for you to take. And you might as well start right now.
Yeah.
Talking to somebody who lost a loved one today, and we were talking, we kind of got laughing because they said they thought they got to heaven, but when they got to heaven, they might have to do remedial heaven. You know what I'm saying? Just enough of God to get there. Like Paul says, you know, we get there and everything will be tested as if by fire. Come on. Wood, hay, and stubble. Precious stones. How many know we get to heaven and the door just closes right behind us? And we just make it by the skin of our teeth. No, we want to ride in heaven with all that God has got for us. Tonight could be your night to experience the suddenly, the unpredictable, the powerful. Tonight could be the night that could change the whole direction of your life. In this little old room off here in this cornfield. Because God wants to meet with us. He has a purpose for us. And I believe when we line up to His purposes, He says, I've been waiting for this moment for a long time. Bam! And He gives it to us. And if we drop it, if we mess it up, He's there to give it to us again. He has an unlimited supply of His anointing and purpose and drive. Unlimited supply. Amen. That keeps creating. If the universe goes 2,000 miles more every day, how many can imagine what He's willing to do in us? When Jesus says, it gives a whole new meaning to this statement that He says. He says, I'll finish the work that I started. And I say, God, where is that finish at? I can't get enough of You. Just when I think I have all of God, He shows me more. Come on, somebody. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. I want to look at three scriptures very quickly tonight. Three scriptures. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3 says this. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to His temple. even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Let me read it again. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Now, I want you to start looking at these statements in a New Testament eye. Because how many know God does not dwell in a building? God said to David, what building would you build for me that would house me? There is no place that would house me. Go outside and look at your Milky Way galaxy. It's 100,000 light years from end to end, and I can walk across it in 2 seconds. And you're going to build a house for me. The temple is right here. Put your hand right here. This is the temple. And I will come suddenly to my temple. We need to believe God for the suddenly. Because there are things in our lives that are like last year's lights that we threw in the box that are all tangled and twisted Christmas lights. Our life sometimes gets like that, and God says, man, I want to come suddenly and straighten it all out because I need you on the front lines. I need you to be my witness. I need you to be my light. I need you to be my soul. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. The Lord will come suddenly to his temple. You say, God, I've been to you how many times? And God says, come again. Keep coming. Don't get discouraged because it's not happened. Something's holding it up. It doesn't matter what it is. Just keep pressing in until God answers your prayer. God wants to answer your prayer suddenly. And tonight could be the night. Tonight could be the suddenly. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Come on, somebody. We would take care of our temple a lot more if we had revelation about that. God is in our bodies, man. He lives in us. The God of the universe could live anywhere that creates something that doesn't ever stop. The universe keeps growing. And he says, you know what? I could live wherever I want to live. I could walk wherever I want to walk. But I chose to come and live in you. I don't know how he does it. Billions of people at a time. That's one of the questions I have for him. But he does it. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? When the Lord comes, he is not just one of us who comes to observe. When he manifests, he runs the show. All things are off. When God shows up, all things are over. All of our plans, all of our musings, all of our understandings, they go to the side and we say, yes, Lord. Anything less than that is idol worship. Anything that takes the place of that is idol worship. God, I hear what you're saying, but I've got an agenda. God says, you don't think I know you got an agenda? You don't think I know you got kids to raise? You don't think I know you got jobs to work? You don't think I know you got bills to pay? I'll take care of all that. Here's what I want you to do. Be obedient. That's the suddenly. When he comes, he doesn't come with a questionnaire. God doesn't come with a questionnaire and say, do you want to do this? If you answer these questions on a scale from 1 to 10, how do you feel about what I just said? 3. Oh, darn, I'll reword it. Sorry. We're talking about the God of the universe. We're talking about the God that made the galaxy and the universe and the thing and the growing and he speaks and things happen. He lives in us. And when he speaks, suddenly speaks to us, all we've got. The only answer that's going to please God is yes. If he hears no, he'll wait. But you better believe he'll be back with the same question. Because he loves us. But here's the danger. When we say no to God and we say, well, I don't want to hear. I went through a time in my life that I had prophecies. Everywhere I went, I got a prophecy. I was like, I'd hide. I'd go to meetings and hide. I'd hold my Bible in front of me so nobody would see me. Literally, ask my wife. I mean, everywhere I went, I'd hear a prophetic word. And the prophetic word was the same prophetic word. I'd want to stop somebody and just say, just hold on. There's no use in you wasting your breath. I'll go out and get the tape and we'll play it and then you could say amen. That's how accurate the words were with people that didn't know each other. And then I said one night, I was talking to a prophetess. I was talking to a lady and I said, I don't want to hear any more prophecy. And for a year and a half, I didn't hear nothing. I'd hear nothing from God. It was like the heavens were brass. So I was frustrated. You know, I was still praying. I was still pressing in. I went through some really depressed times. And I happened to, about a year and a half after that, I was talking to the same lady on the phone. And I said, man, you haven't had a prophetic word for me for a year and a half. She said, you told me you didn't want to hear from God. So God said, if you don't want to hear from him, he's not going to speak. How many know what I spent the rest of the day doing? Repenting. God, forgive me. The suddenlies of God, by the time God speaks, it's not, okay, let me speak and I'll get back to you. Come on, someone. It's now. God doesn't have, you know, his mercy and grace is above his word. You know, he loves us, he'll wait. But that's not his purpose. His purpose, once he speaks, is for us to say yes. When the Lord comes, he comes as the Lord. Where his spirit comes in touch with our flesh, something happens and we will never be the same. We will never be the same. When we have an encounter with God, when we say yes to God, that's when he comes in and takes out whatever needs taken out and puts in whatever needs put in because we said yes. Until then, we're not going to do it. Until then, until we say yes, God's not going to give us what we won't use to not answer what he's told us to do. He's not going to do it. It'd be a waste of his time and it'd certainly be a waste of ours. But if we say yes, and we say yes, remember when the guy Jesus came down from the mountain and he said, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You remember what he said to the Lord? He said, I believe God helped me in my unbelief. That's all God needed to hear. That's all Jesus needed to hear, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And all of a sudden, his son was healed. How many know that guy probably never said that again? Unbelief. He saw his son healed right in front of his eyes. Come on, somebody. And that's the thing. Once the suddenly happens, it changes everything. The coals off the altar in heaven touched Isaiah's lips, and he heard the Lord. In fact, if you'll allow me, do I have time? I have time. Do I have time? Say, I have time. Isaiah, turn to Isaiah. Isaiah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Isaiah. What am I looking for? Okay, Isaiah chapter 6. See, it's not enough to see the Lord. I saw the Lord, Isaiah says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. High and lifted up. Sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And it stood above the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and he goes on and on, holy, 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 in verse 3. Verse 4, and the posts of the door were shaken. So he spoke, and he said, because he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me. Sherry, you were asking about wings. Seraphims have wings. So one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Everybody there? Now watch what verse 8 says. And also I heard the voice of the Lord. Not enough to see the Lord. Now we want to hear his voice. We sing, show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. We want to see his face. But when we see his face, he wants to move his mouth. God doesn't want a selfie. When we speak, when we say, show us your face, God wants to speak. It's not enough to see God. We want to hear what he says. And right away, God's command to Isaiah was, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Why do you think God let Isaiah hear the talk between the Godhead? Because it was Isaiah that was going to go. Isaiah volunteered, but God already knew. We need to hear God's voice. We must go from seeing to seeing him to hearing. To hearing what he says. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And here's key. Here's key to being part of the revival that has hit our land. Here is key of saying, God, I want to go from just the same old, of knowing you're there, of reading your word. I want to hear your voice. And it's amazing that here are these three disciples. I'll set it up for you a little bit. Here are these three disciples are going with Jesus, and they go up to what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. Of course, we all know what happened up there, but they had no idea what was going to happen. They were walking with Jesus, and he got up there, and all of a sudden, he was metamorphosed into his glorious, where he was all the time. He went from being human to being who he really was. And it said that he glowed, his garments glowed. He was changed in their presence. So there they are. They fall as if dead before him. And Peter wakes up. And of course, Peter wants to help things out. Peter wants to, he's practical. Peter's practical and verbose. He wants to be the champion guy. So he says, God, it's good for us. Jesus, it's good for us that we're here. We'll build tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And in the middle of his speech, God interrupts him. God never says, excuse me. They hear his voice. Watch what he says. Verse 5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly, a voice came. There's that word. Suddenly, a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Now, when I looked at that today, I was saying, God, because I was looking at this suddenly, and I said, God, why would you say? Now, this is only twice in the New Testament do we see the heavens open up and God speaking. Now, this is an important, how many know this is an important historical event? And all you got to say is hear him? But that's key to revival. Is hear what Jesus, and here's these guys. They've lived with Jesus day and night. A year and a half, a couple years now, they're into this relationship with Jesus. They hang on his every word. They're sitting around dinner and they're not watching the 6 o'clock news. They're listening to the Lord talk about. John said if we put everything he talked about in books, it wouldn't be enough in the world. Here they're listening to Jesus all the time. But yet God the Father, in the one statement he makes from heaven, is hear him. And I thought about that and I said, Lord, we're listening, but we're not hearing. Hear him. Suddenly God speaks. We must be in a position to hear him. He wants to make adjustments in our lives. How many now? To the smallest detail. He wants to be the Lord of every detail. Why? Because he's a creative God. That's who he is. Come on, someone. You get around a carpenter, what do they want to do? Carpet. Get around an electrician, what do they want to do? Electric. You get around God, what does he want to do? He wants to create, he wants to shape, he wants to form, he wants to make. He's the Lord. We'll say, God, you know, I had my devotions today, God. I read in Psalms where you're my shepherd. Okay, thank you for being my shepherd. And God says, no, I want to speak to you, man. Hear me. Hear what I'm saying to you. We must be in a position to hear him. And he has a right to come suddenly. You know what happens when he comes suddenly? Everything changes. Everything changes. Peter, James, and John would never be the same again. Never be the same again. They came down from that mountain. Yeah, Peter has a little denial time. But I'll tell you what, when they were sitting around the table that night, Peter, James, and John are elbowing each other. Did you hear that coming from the clouds? Did you hear that voice? The Creator, the one that made the whole universe, spoke to us. Come on, somebody. And don't shortchange God. Don't shortchange God. He wants to give you all of him. He says, I've designed you so you can take all of me. Come on, somebody. He wants to give us his glory so much that we just find it. We have to say, back off, I can't take any more. We look at him in his reservoir this big, and he says, man, I'm bigger than you could ever imagine. And I want you to know. He said to Paul, when Paul wrote in Ephesians, he said that we might know the height and the depth and the width and the length of his love. Wow. Suddenly. He comes to us suddenly. We're minding our own business. Having church. He makes some changes. He sends me off to, you know, I thought about that. I was standing there 4 hours to get in. So I was standing 8 hours a day to get in for 6 hours or so. I spent 14 hours each day. And eight of them was standing on my feet, not doing anything, telling people to get to the back of the line. You know, when it started, I was only 100 people behind. About 15 minutes to, I was 500 behind because everybody went, whew, you know. But anyway, I'm standing there and I'm going, God, all these people are here. And by the time the door opens, you look back and four blocks of people standing wanting to get in just to be in the presence of God. It's raining. People got plastic and umbrellas and it's cold. It never got any warmer in 42. And people were standing and waiting to get in to be in the presence of God. And I said, man, when it snows in Rochester, we may not have church. A couple inches of snow and come on, somebody. Suddenly God come. And what if it's just that one time? What if it's that time when you say, God, I'm in a hurry. I'm just going to sip some coffee. And I'm going to read. There some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they're in his, Lord, bless my day. See, Lord, I read, off I go. What if it's that day that God says, I want to come suddenly. I want to change your life today. I want to change your life today. That was me trying to wake you up 15 minutes early so I could get you into prayer clothes so I could change your life. Final verse, Acts chapter 2. Now I want to pray with you. Acts chapter 2. Not only are we supposed to hear what God is saying, but we hear where the source is coming from. Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Notice what the scripture says. And suddenly there came a sound from where?
Heaven.
From heaven. Didn't come from down the street. Didn't come from some human being. Suddenly a sound came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. When God comes, he wants full attention. Come on, somebody. When he speaks, when he comes, He doesn't come saying, you know, I'm just one of those voices. If you want to listen to somebody else, fine, I'll just stand over here and talk to myself. No, when he speaks, when he does something, there was something that happened at that time, at this place, that changed forever the direction of the world. Changed forever. The Holy Spirit came. We need to hear this sound from heaven. We need to again turn our ear towards heaven. We're hearing sounds from everywhere. Everybody's got an opinion. But the sound from heaven, we may not hear it, but we know where it came from. We may not understand it, but we know where it came from. It is this generation's turn to hear the sound from heaven. It's our turn. God, what are you saying? God, I'm going to put my life in your hands once again. I don't care how long we've been walking with Christ. It's what I've been saying to him for the past couple weeks. Is, Lord, I put my life in your hands. It belongs to you again. I give up all ownership. Amen. All ownership. It doesn't belong to me. I resign from being the driver. I'm not driving anymore. Come on, somebody. One of my pet peeves is seeing that little bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. What? He's your co-pilot. He's my pilot. He's my pilot. It's this generation's turn. When the sound from heaven came, it filled the whole house. Just like in Solomon's temple, when God came, it filled the whole temple. And Ezekiel's vision that we just read, or in Isaiah's vision that we just read, the whole train filled the temple. Ezekiel's vision, when it came, it filled the whole temple. When the temple is full, there's room for nothing else. So when our temple is full, nothing else can get in there. That means all habits will go. All addictions will go. All distractions will go. Because there's not room for them. How many know when God fills it to the brim, he fills it to the brim, to overflowing. And everything that doesn't belong there gets washed out by his presence. And he doesn't want to do that just once. My kind of personality, it just, God knows me. When I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, I had a prayer language immediately. I prayed for an hour in tongues. Well, I've told the story. I was in the house, woke all the kids up. It was 9 o'clock at night. I woke all the girls up screaming, crying. What's going on down there? I was going, Kata Shadabata, Kadabata, Kadabata, Shetikidaba, Shadabata, for an hour. Never spoke, you know, I didn't know what was going on. But God did. God came suddenly. Guy shared four scriptures with me. Went to his house. He was an elder in the church I was attending. He shared four scriptures. Said, do you want it? And I said, I want everything God's got. He laid hands on me. Suddenly. It was never the same. Washed stuff out of me. That should have took, if I'd have went to a counselor, it would have took 5 years to straighten the mess out. God did it. In 1 hour, it would have taken years to take care of. How many know we serve a mighty God? Yes, we serve a mighty God. And we just need to believe. This could be yours suddenly. 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night in the middle of a cornfield could be yours suddenly. Could be the change. And I believe that we have our hand on that purpose that God wants for us. And it may be that he came before and spoke to you. He said, not right now, not right now. I'm not ready. But you know what? God would never speak to you if he didn't think you were ready. Come on, somebody. He would never speak to you. He's not a tease. He doesn't want to get frustrated. By the time you hear his voice, he says, I'm speaking this to you because you're ready. Amen? He can do miracles in seconds. In seconds. In a millisecond. The God that created everything, 100,000 miles across our galaxy, says, that's not a problem to me. Here's what I want for your life, and I'm removing couple brain tumors, that's nothing to me. I removed those. I got a call on your life. got a call on your life. He's got a call on your life. You know, He's got something for you to do. And you just need to speak it by faith. You're a leader because you've learned. You've learned back in the backside of the... You learned while nobody else was paying attention. Everybody else kind of wrote, well, that's Roger. He's sick. He's back here. But in that backside of the desert, He spoke some things to you. And you're going to guide people out of darkness into light because you've been there. You've knocked on death's door and there was no answer. Because God said, it's not time. Stretch out your hands to Roger. Father, I thank You for this man of God. I thank You, God. None of us in this room know. Maybe John knows. But outside of him, nobody knows what Roger's been through but Roger. But Lord, You never left nor forsake him. You've never forsook him, Lord. You always was there. You have a call on his life, God. Lord, every time the enemies try to take him out, You've renewed the call. He knows what it is. He just needs to receive Your suddenly. He needs to receive Your suddenly. And I pray fire on his life. I pray fire on his life. And the years that the palmer worm and the canker worm have eaten. Call them back. Call your family back. Call the things that are not as though they were. For God has an intent to suddenly come to your temple. And suddenly change things. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For have I not shown you? Even in the darkness, in the place, in the quiet place, I've shown you. You said, how is this ever going to work? And God says, you leave the organizing to me. You just walk in what I've created for you. What I've created for you. You are my workmanship, created in my Son for good works. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That prayer that you prayed the other day of no cancer, God said, that's easy. No cancer. Amen? No cancer. His name is greater than cancer. Amen? Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you feel the Spirit of the Lord on you, you want prayer, you come up. If you're feeling the Lord move on your spirit right now, get up here. Get up here. If God's moving on your spirit.